The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome back to The Swamp, my friends, and welcome if you're new. Today I'm going to be sharing some creepy and downright strange horror stories from the deep woods. As always, if you have a story that you would like to share in a future episode, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. Now, without further hesitation, be sure to hit that like button, subscribe if you're new, and let's jump right into these creepy and downright strange deep woods horror stories that'll freak you out tonight. What Stalked My Tent by Concept Western 2899. In my late teens and early 20s, I was a venture scout and leader for my trips for a local Boy Scout troop. I'm a female, but my brother was part of the troop for quite some years, and I became friends with everyone there. I completed my youth protection training and was allowed to lead and chaperone camping trips and other wilderness-related things. I had a longtime friend in the troop. Let's call him Sam. He was a close friend of my whole family. Sam was a little bit older than me and had already been a Boy Scout leader for several years. This story takes place in November of 2018. Sam and I led an upcoming camping trip, the annual Fall Canoe Floats down the Buffalo National River in Arkansas. The Buffalo River runs about 135 miles through the Ozark Mountains, with enormous bluffs on at least one side or the other for just about all of it. It flows through some of the most beautiful parts of the northwest and northern areas of Arkansas, and despite my incident, I still encourage you to take a trip there. That afternoon, we made camp on a riverbank about 15 miles from where we put in. The scouts put up their tents about 25 yards upstream of my tent, with the campfire and cooking station between us. As I set up, I told Sam I was a little nervous about sleeping in my tent alone for the first time. He shrugged me off and told me I'd be okay and that sleeping alone was relatively peaceful. I remember rolling my eyes. Unlike me, Sam had not only been camping utterly alone for years, but he had also done it in a hammock with no other, what I consider, protective gear. I didn't bother to ask him to tent with me because, according to the scouting rules, males and females cannot share tents, and I didn't want to get in trouble for the first time leading a group. However, I think Sam sensed my unease and set up his sleeping arrangements outside my tent, consisting of a sleeping pad on the ground with his canoe flipped over the top of him like a coffin. Still, I admire what it must be like to live with so little concern. We all spent the evening around the campfire, talking and making dinner. The forest and the river were so full of life, and I felt a little more comfortable when we all decided to turn in for the night. I watched Sam lay down on his pad and flip the canoe over him, and then, you know, sighing with contentment, I climbed into my tent. I spent the first hour or two reading while listening to the sounds of the boys up the river fade as they all fell asleep, but I couldn't, for the life of me, fall asleep myself. The nighttime temperature had dropped below freezing. Then, of course, I needed to pee. I probably spent another 10 minutes trying to trick myself into forgetting about it and just falling asleep, but it was nearly impossible. Finally, I exited my tent, tapped Sam's canoe to let him know where I was going, and headed up the bank for some privacy. I don't know how many women on here have peed in the woods, but if you have, you'll know it's one of the worst things about camping. What made it even worse was that I was cautious about being seen. I climbed up the embankment, walked about 10 feet into the woods before stopping, and oh my god, it was miserable. Not only having to drop drawers in the cold, but also being completely vulnerable, but the worst part about it was completely silent. Not a single cricket, not a rustle of a squirrel, nothing. It didn't really click in my head until years later about how bad that is. Just that primitive part of my brain started screaming to leave immediately. I ran back to the dam before sliding down it on my butt and sprinting back to camp. Once I was back around everyone else and in the glow of the full moon, I had a little more sense of security. The river was burbling on quietly, and I could see the dying embers of the campfire before I got the idea to take the warm rocks from the campfire and put them in my sleeping bag to get some warmth. I dragged about 4 or 5 decent-sized stones into my tent and slipped them into the bottom of my sleeping bag. Unfortunately, it just wasn't enough. I was awake for hours in pain from how cold I was, trying to rub the ache out of my legs. I remember tearing up because of how exhausted and cold I was. That's when I heard a noise like footsteps walking around downstream from my tent. The bank was covered in smooth river stone so that any footsteps would make quite a bit of noise, but the sound of the rocks shifting told me that this was something rather big. Then I heard them enter the water. Worried one of the boys was awake and going for a midnight swim, I quickly unzipped my tent and poked my head out to see a magnificent elk drinking from the river. At least, it looked like an elk. It was massive, but far enough away and standing perfectly in shadow that I wasn't quite sure. It was much too large to be a deer, but we don't really have moose in Arkansas from what I know. I quietly watched it, hoping to see more of it when it looked directly at me. Its face, even in the shadow, triggered my primitive brain again. If my blood wasn't running cold before, it was now. I felt this pricking up my neck as if some unknown terror crept into my bones. I ducked my head back into my tent and stayed still for hours. The combination of the fear and the cold wasted any hope of sleeping. I've never heard the elk leaving the bank, but I didn't even think about listening for it. I was just so wrapped up in the moment. The woods were almost screaming in silence again. After hours, someone tapped on my tent and said, "Come on. It's time to go." I pressed my face into my hands and breathed a sigh of relief and exhaustion. I had made it through the night, and even though it was over, I didn't get any sleep. I quickly stuck my feet in my boots and exited my tent to find nothing. It was still night. I had confused the light from the moon with dawn. No one was around my tent. And the time it took from when they spoke to me and when I came out was not enough for one of the boys to return to their tent before I saw them. That prickling feeling returned, but this time it was all over my body as I heard a voice saying, "Don't turn around." I slowly sat backward in my tent, zipped myself into it, shaking. I laid down in my sleeping bag, covered my face, and prayed. I prayed for so long until I finally fell asleep. In the morning, I woke up to a familiar voice of Sam talking to another scout outside my tent. I could feel the warmth of the sun beating down on my tent. I knew I looked terrible because Sam did a double take upon seeing me. "Jesus, you look like you didn't sleep. Did you come to my tent last night?" I asked him. Sam, still studying my face slowly, responded, "No. Please don't play with me. If you did, you got me good. Great, just don't continue that joke night. After night, please." I felt a little bad being accusatory because Sam was a pretty no-nonsense guy, especially when it came down to being in charge of camping trips. "Diana, no, I wouldn't try to scare you. I know you how nervous you were about sleeping alone out here." He folded his pad before tossing it into his canoe and throwing it over his shoulder. "But I guess you weren't too scared last night." I looked confused. "What? Sam gestured up the embankment into the woods. I heard you making a few trips up there. Next time you get a Gatorade bottle, you won't have to leave your tent or anything. Save you some time. Around that time, the rest of the scouts had announced that they had finished cooking breakfast, and everyone had migrated to the campfire. But I felt like I had just sunk my knees into the river mud. I had to leave the tent, and I had to pack up. But I felt so heavy. So, if it wasn't me, and it wasn't Sam, what did he and I hear coming out from the woods and checking out my tent multiple times that night? And why had he heard it more times than I have? I told this story to multiple people before, and they say I probably just dreamed it, but I know I hadn't. I had been too cold and sat in my sleeping bag most of the night.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
A Strange Creature We Encountered by Ansley W. I believed in monsters or demons, but only once me and my two best friends encountered one. We were about 13 years old in rural northern Florida, down a long lime rock road backed up to a swamp on the edge of 80 acres of protected woodlands. Leo, Steve, and I often played by a small family-owned cemetery at the forest's edge. Our house was only about 100 yards from the cemetery, and my mom would usually come onto our porch and holler for us to come in for supper. Now, we weren't being bad out there. We were taught to be respectful to the dead. However, the edge of the forest was where you could find all the good sticks and rocks that all the young boys wanted to play with. It was something about this area that had this broken brick wall blocking the cemetery from the woods that really enchanted me. There was one 15-foot section where a car had blasted through it one night and never got repaired. So that was our access point. We had played there 1,000 times before, and we would never play there again after that night. Like most late afternoons when waiting for supper, we would meet and walk over to the cemetery to start messing around. We had been out there for quite a while, going back and forth from the woods to the cemetery, wasting time wrestling and tossing stones, sword fighting with sticks, and all that other fun jazz. The best place to get sticks was a large brush pile, where the cemetery staff would toss back when cleaning the grounds. It started to get dark, and this old road had no street lights, so we waited for my mom when it was time to come home. As we were horsing around, an awful foul smell came out of nowhere. It smelled like rotting meat and feces. We all smelled it and acknowledged it, but we couldn't pinpoint its location. Moments later, my mom called out to us from behind the cemetery wall leading into the woods. This wasn't necessarily uncommon. My ma would come out here and there and scare us every so often. But something felt off. Something was wrong. She didn't holler like she usually would. She just said my name. One time. It was plain as day, and we all heard it. I said, "Yes, ma'am," and there was no response. All three of us ran to the hole in the wall and looked down and saw nothing. The smell was still strong, but there was no sign of my ma anywhere. Leo began to speak up and say that we should all go inside the house. And as the words got out of his mouth, we heard my mother's voice perfectly clear call my name again from the woods just beyond the giant brush pile. Steve, being the toughest of us all, called out, and this is a part I will never forget. He said, "Miss Marie, you ain't gonna scare me," and charged back towards the pile to try and scare her. Steve hadn't taken three steps when we heard my mom, Miss Marie, call out from my house, which was 100 yards back, in the other direction. "Boys, girls, y'all come back in, supper's ready." We froze stiff. We all knew that we had just heard my mom's actual voice, not whatever monstrosity was 15 feet ahead of us behind the brush pile. She was calling from the house. It was undeniable. All at once, the brush pile seemed to explode with movement, and the loudest shriek, like a banshee, I have ever heard came from it. The smell increased to 100 times, and we scrambled to return home. We could hear the moment of something coming over the pile right for us. Leo screamed as we all darted for the hole in the brick wall. They were white bricks the wall was made of, which will be important later. We hauled our booties back home. My dad was halfway down the road to meet us, running full speed with a 12-gauge. He heard Leo scream and assumed the worst. He was coming to my rescue. Pulling out of the driveway in the truck just behind him was my mom. My dad, Brad, came running up to us. "Y'all boys alright? What happened?" "Something was in the woods and it came after us. It wasn't an animal, it was a monster." Steve and Leo agreed, and frantically repeated what I had said. We all tried to catch our breath. "Y'all boys get in the truck." We bailed into the bed as we climbed into the tailgate. My mom hauled ass back to the cemetery. They just stopped outside of it. My dad hopped off and went in. We all climbed up on the toolbox to try to see what was going on, but we couldn't really see anything. It seemed empty and quiet, but oddly, it was pretty. Not a bird chirping in sight, no cricket, just a beautiful sunset. About 10 minutes later, my dad came back to the truck looking confused and upset. He said, "Son, did y'all spill or mess with anything that you shouldn't have been?" "No, sir. Why do you say that?" "Y'all come back here and look at this." He led us back around the wall to where the hole was. Across the downed bricks and busted bricks, there was brown and black trail of something that looked like oil or some sort of really gross viscous type of liquid. It was disgusting, and a slimy trail of black-brown substance that reeked an awful smell like what we had encountered earlier started to ooze out of the bricks. It was gross, and it came all the way from the brush pile where we got the sticks. We thought my mom was hiding there originally, earlier in the story, and it turns out now it was something much, much worse. It took a lot of convincing and many, many months of promising that we wouldn't mess around with things we shouldn't be for them to finally let us go back and play in that area, but we were pretty reluctant ourselves. We don't know what that liquid was. We don't know where it came from. We had to plead our innocence that we didn't bring it there and we weren't messing with anything. I don't know what that creature was. I can't even begin to speculate because I didn't really get such a good look at it that I can even describe what it looked like. I know what it smelled like. I know that it could mimic voices. And it was absolutely the most terrifying event of my entire life. The Cabin with the Evil Vibe by Catahoo. I will never go hiking again after this. Here is my story. Believe it or not, I have always wanted to hike the Appalachian Trail. It had been a dream of mine for as long as I could remember. And now it was finally happening. The day I finally arrived, I had all my gear packed and ready to go. My boyfriend Dylan was supposed to pick me up sometime around 6 a.m., but it was already 7 a.m., and he had still yet to arrive. Finally, he came a few minutes later, and I had a few choice words for him. He just laughed. His laugh made me smile, no matter how mad I was at him. We got to the trailhead, and I jumped out of his Jeep before it stopped altogether. Dylan said, "Slow down there and wait for me." We started walking down the trail, taking in the fresh, clean air of the forest. Something felt strange to me, like maybe we shouldn't be here. Dylan seemed to sense something was off as well, but he didn't really say anything. We had been walking for about 2 miles when I heard something overhead. I looked up and a huge limb came crashing down. Dylan grabbed me just in time. If he hadn't, I probably wouldn't be writing this right now at all. We looked at the limb and couldn't figure out why it fell. It was massive. There was no wind or anything that would have caused it to drop from our understanding. I said, "Something or someone dropped that limb, huh?" Dylan said, "Someone, Tess? We are out here all alone. Besides, no one could be that high up in the tree." We both looked up at the tree. It looked like something up there, but I dismissed it. I didn't want to play any conspiracy theories. Dylan said we needed to get moving. "I want to get to camp before it gets dark." We finally found a small clearing near a stream to set up camp. It was absolutely beautiful and peaceful. All the sounds of the forest made me smile. I loved listening to the birds chirping. Dylan walked up to me. I told him this place was absolutely perfect. Dylan started putting up the tent. I went and gathered some twigs for the fire. I felt uneasy, as if we weren't alone though. As if someone were following us and watching us. Dylan called me paranoid, but I knew something just wasn't right. We ate and went to the stream to wash our dinner dishes and cache our food from any bears that may be in the area. Something caught my eye on the other side of the stream. Dylan and I proceeded to walk across the stream to see what it was. It was an old creepy cabin. Cobwebs hung from the broken windows, and the door swung on rusted hinges. It looked absolutely evil. It gave me the chills. "A cabin in the middle of the forest," I said. Dylan walked towards the cabin. I screamed, "Don't go in there! It's giving off an evil vibe. Please, let's just leave now." Dylan wouldn't listen. He entered the cabin against my wishes. He came stumbling out of the cabin and said, "We have to leave now." I didn't ask any questions. Dylan's face was pale. I knew something was seriously wrong. When we got back to our campsite, Dylan started packing. He yelled at me to pack, and he never yelled at me. I screamed back, "Where are we going in the pitch black night? You can't see in the dark." He said, "Do not argue with me. We are leaving now." We put our headlamps on and started moving. We probably walked 5 miles in the dark. Dylan finally said we could stop for the night. We were both absolutely exhausted, but there was no way we would sleep that night. He pulled out his sidearm and rifle, laid it in his lap, and checked his rifle to make sure it was fully operational. He pulled me close to him and held me tight. Then, he whispered there was something in the cabin. It looked like a man, but the face was not human. Its arms were longer than an average human, and long, dirty nails were at the end of its fingers. They looked more like claws. "It looked up at me," Dylan said. "It had sharp yellow teeth. Its canines were more like a bear's than humans, and dripping in blood. Blood from the deer it was eating alive. It ripped another piece of flesh from the deer and ate it. Then the creature looked up at me and smiled. It was a horrible smile." Dylan had tears in his eyes. I'd never seen him cry before. Suddenly, he looked at me and yelled, "Run!" I looked over my shoulder and saw the creature there. It had followed us. I began to run. I heard Dylan scream, a gut-wrenching scream. I was hoping that the creature had done nothing to him, but I had no idea. He just kept telling me to run. I heard shots ring out. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. This was like something straight from a freaking horror movie. All I remember was eventually I woke up somewhere. I believe it was the park ranger station. The ranger told me he found me unconscious on the trail, and he said he had found Dylan as well. Dylan was fine, he was just scratched up a bit, and so was I. And honestly, we both have no idea how to describe this whole thing. Once we finally finished being questioned from all the rangers and all that good stuff, we were finally able to head home. Now, the Appalachia are beautiful, absolutely serene, but be warned, the Appalachian Trail can be a dangerous place. Honestly, the only thing I can think of that we might have encountered that night are something known as the Feral Men of the Appalachia. This is the story of when I had an encounter with what I assumed to be a skinwalker. In December of 2018, me and my mother had been shoveling the porch and driveway when I saw a silhouette move quickly out of the corner of my eye. It kind of looked like a deer, so I did not say anything to my mom at first. Nothing else seemed suspicious, except for the fact that its front legs looked weird, and it seemingly walked weird too. It was also dark out, so I could not really tell further features of the animal, so I was trying to put it in the back of my head as me just being creeped out for no reason. Then, This thing stood up on two legs. It let out an ear-piercing scream. I was terrified. I looked at my mother, who was looking at me with a look that confirmed that I was not seeing or hearing things. When I looked back, this thing was suddenly gone. It's like it just vanished in thin air. The next day, I went out to the general area to where I saw it and saw deer footprints, but they were different. As they went further into the tree line, they turned into human hand and footprints. But this was the first encounter with that thing. About 8 months later in August, I was walking home from school and looked over to the forest to my left. I did this every so often, because if by chance, you could see some deer in the field grazing. I look over and immediately wish I did not. I saw a half deer, half man thing stand up in the middle of a group of deer. Now that I really think back on it, it reminds me a bit of that scene from Percy Jackson, where the Minotaur gets up in the middle of a herd of cows and charges at them. Back to my story though. So, me and it are looking at each other, and like the last time I saw the similar creature, it let out this weird scream, like an elk mixed with the souls of hell. My blood quickly ran ice cold. I book it back to my house and see it running towards me. I say screw it and run to the nearest person's house and knock vigorously on their door. A man in his late 20s, early 30s opens the door and immediately ushers me in. He asks me what the hell I'm doing alone in the middle of rural Michigan. So, I tell him about that thing that was chasing me. Suddenly, we see a silhouette of a man-like figure that could be at least 8 feet tall if I had to guess, standing at the window. Luckily for us, it could not see in the window, since all the blinds were closed. So we stayed quiet until this thing left. Not trusting that it actually left, the guy let me call my mother, and she came to pick me up. It was definitely a weird experience. My mother was infinitely worried for my mental being, and paid for a therapist and drove me to school from then on. This confused me, since I lived in an enclosed Michigan community and have never heard or seen anything like that. After doing some research, I learned about the Dogman and Skinwalkers and other cryptids, which seem to mostly live in the West, but apparently they've been spotted in southern and eastern Michigan, which scared me even further. I am 14 now, and it still infects my nightmares. I just wanted to submit my story. This is a true story that happened to me when I was around 11 years old, and I don't care who believes it or not. I was home alone with my older brother and sister. My parents were not home at the time. I cannot remember where they went, but I guess that's not really important. My sister was in her bedroom, and my brother was on his computer a couple of rooms away. I was in the living room by myself. We have a lot of dogs, but for some reason, only one of them was outside. I don't remember what led up to me going outside to let her in, but I think it was about to start raining or something along those lines. Our garage leads to our backyard, so I go into the garage and out to the yard, so I'm standing in the doorway. I don't see my dog anywhere. Our yard is 2 acres, so I thought nothing of it at first. I step a little bit further out of the doorway and look for her. Her name is Chloe. That will be important to the story in just a minute. We have this big concrete block outside the garage doorway, acting as a sort of step as our garage is slightly elevated. I step out of the doorway, now standing on the concrete, and call out her name. Chloe. I don't see her anywhere. This was very unusual for her, as she's very sweet and a very energetic dog, and always comes running when she so much as sees you. She would always come when called. I called her name again and again, but I still don't see or hear her. I'm slightly confused at this point, but then I hear what sounds like clapping you do when you're calling a dog. I stiffen tightly. It sounds like it's coming from the other side of the house. After it stops, I slowly step off the concrete block and onto the grass, and look at the side of the house where I heard the clapping. There was absolutely no one or nothing there. None of our neighbors were even outside, and they're pretty far away, so I don't think I would hear them clapping unless it was very, very loud. I was really scared at this point. The clapping was just so clear. There was no way I could have imagined it. I take a couple steps back, closer to the concrete, ready to make a run for it. I call out for my dog one more time, not wanting to leave her out there. Chloe! A couple of seconds later, the clapping starts back up again. I'm terrified at this point. I don't have any clue what this is. Then, I swear to God, I hear a man's voice. I'm a girl, so it couldn't have obviously been me echoing, very clearly saying my dog's name, Chloe. It sounded like it was coming from the field by my yard. I didn't recognize the voice at all. I had heard a bunch of my neighbors speak before, and that was definitely not any of them. It sounded pretty close by, but definitely far enough that it wasn't immediate danger. The voice sounded almost mocking, like it was making fun of me. It was as if the voice was amused by my obvious fear and was mocking me. Only a few seconds after I heard that voice, Chloe comes running up to me from the other side of the yard. I swear I would have been able to see her.
I grab her and run inside and lock the door behind me. I sit on the couch in the living room, scared out of my mind. My sister was still in her room, and my brother still on his computer, none the wiser. I was alone in the room, except for a few dogs, trying to make sense of what had just happened. After some time, my parents finally get home and I tell them what happened. No one believes me. The only person who even remotely believed me was my mother, clearly seeing how distressed I was about the whole situation. If I had to guess, I would say it has to be a skinwalker, but all I know for sure is that it was very scary.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time.
For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Thanks for listening to these creepy and downright strange deep woods horror stories that'll freak you out tonight. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to slap that like button as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Be sure to subscribe and turn on notifications so you don't miss new episodes as I upload them multiple times a week. And all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future episode, be sure to submit yours at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to potentially share your story with everyone here in the swamp. You can also submit stories on Reddit now at r/thedarkswamp. If you're on the go but don't have YouTube Premium but still want to download and listen to your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories no matter where you are, you can download them absolutely free. From Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and pretty much everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. It's absolutely free and always will be. Thank you guys so much for supporting the Swamp the way you do. I couldn't do this without you all. I can't wait to see you guys in the next episode. Be sure to join me over on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, Instagram, Facebook, all the fun social medias for behind the scenes and extra content. And I'll see you soon with another creepy episode.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.